Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Friday night. You heard that right. Friday night, Friday the 13th, June 13th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us, as always, at thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week. Starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, he is the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, he is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, the week is over. How you doing?
Okay, good to be here on Friday.
Yeah, we'll explain why we're doing this on a Friday in just a minute, but before we do, I want to finish my introductions. The resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9. He's the man with the bionic back. He is Bucky's tag team partner and a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, Friday night podcasting. Welcome, sir.
I just want to say happy birthday to the original. Well, not the original, because he led the Argonauts. But Jason Voorhees. Today, June 13th, 1946, is his actual birthday. Friday the 13th, my fellow Jason, Mr. Voorhees, salute, sir. Happy birthday, and enjoy your day.
Well, this is a celebratory podcast, a wrestling podcast, and apparently now an informative podcast, because that's a nugget that I didn't know.
So yeah, actually, I have a shit ton of friends. Like, my two best friends are like horror movie nuts, and obviously their best friend is named Jason. And somehow that information has always escaped me until my wife apparently saw it on the internet today, and she's like, "Actually, today, Friday the 13th is his actual birthday of the character." I was like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense because he's way older than people think he is." You know, 1946. Hello, but yeah. So, the more you know, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a bit of trivia I didn't know. I'm not the horror fan in the house. My girlfriend and my son are. They'll sit out there and watch slasher flicks and ridiculous B-rated horror movies and just laugh their asses off. It's not my thing. They usually do that while I'm podcasting, which is what we're doing tonight. And why are we doing this on a Friday? Because as we continue to reel from the end of Skype, and we try to get our audio together and find ways to continue streaming and to continue providing you this awesome content that we do here week in and week out. And in an attempt to keep a very impressive running streak going as we record the 248th episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, last night we ran into some audio troubles. We did a great episode, had a lot of fun, and I sounded great. I sounded amazing. Couldn't tell you what Jason and Rob sounded like because neither one of them made the final cut in the audio, which was depressing because we had some really good sound bites, some really good stuff that came out of that. We're going to keep that energy going tonight and try and do an abridged version of last night's show. We had a lot to talk about last night. Wrestling fans as a whole have been fed over the last the last 10 days. You know, AEW's had two back-to-back shows, two four-hour shows, depending on how you feel about that, the last two Wednesdays. WWE had a huge weekend. TNA had some stuff going on over this week. But the two big things that we were going to talk about, that we did talk about last night, that we're going to kind of condense here tonight, was Triple A, Worlds Collide, and King of the Ring. Or, no, not King of the Ring, Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank. King of the Ring's coming. Yep. They're getting ready to start the tournament for King of the Ring. So,
get ahead of yourself there, buddy.
I am, man. I'm in a rush. I'm in a hurry to get through this year. You want to know why? I'm in a hurry to get through this year because I have back-to-back cruises booked in December and January. So I'm looking at it, I'm like,
I'm done. And I just got an email from NASA about eruptions from the sun. So you know what? Let's just have a good time today. No, seriously, I just got an it sucked talking about sunspots and shit like that. Like, not anything crazy.
I'm blaming our audio problems on solar flares officially right now.
Exactly. Every audio problem we've had in the last couple of, like, weeks, solar flares.
That's it. Straight thank
from
you.
NASA.
Yes, that's why we sounded like tin cans about a month ago, right?
Solar flare.
Official breaking news from NASA.com right now. Eruptions from sun. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, so you blame the sun, you blame Elon Musk, you reach out to him at Elon Musk on the app formerly known as Twitter. Complain to him about the sun. That's his job to fix it.
Well, look at the way things are going. We bring on a sweet release of death.
You know what?
I'm praying for that sweet release of Supernova, son. Let's go, baby.
At this point, man, bring it on. Let's just fucking go. You know, don't send anybody to rescue us. Just let it come. Let it happen. It's why not? What else could happen, huh?
And then, well, that's for the last like 10 years or 5 years at least. I've been saying, hey, man. If all of a sudden this big purple dude showed up and was like, hey, I'm cutting a y'all in half, and snapped his fingers, I'd be like, and it's just going to be half y'all at random, I'd be like, you know what? Half of us right now, more than half of us are terrible. So, fine. Let's roll the dice. See what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Let the luckiest guy win here. Anyway, we're not here to talk to you about that. We do want to talk some wrestling. We want to gloss over AAA Worlds Collide, and I hate to say gloss over it because for me, of everything that I've watched over the last 10 days, that was the most fun. I haven't watched AAA in quite a long time, like years and years and years. And then I remember just telling the guys my introduction to AAA.
Just to interrupt. What was the weekend we all, I'll say it, I pirated Triple Mania, and some other people I know might have also done that as well. But what was the year we all watched Triple Mania legally or illegally?
It was last year or the year before, because somebody found like some weird link and to some weird YouTube thing or something, and we all went there.
It was like a semi-legal, like, maybe we don't know if this is a legal stream, but we're going to keep going until they kick us off type deal. But yeah, as soon as you guys texted me, like, I saw the tweets going about the show and, like, how good it was. And then, like, two matches in, all of a sudden we were all like, hey, there's this stream. And then we were watching it and we were like, why is this show not on American television?
Right.
And thankfully, our TV did not spontaneously combust.
Yeah.
And if there's a knock at your door at 2 o'clock in the morning, hide under your bed, gentlemen. No, WWE...
If there's a knock at my door at 2 in the morning, it won't be because I illegally streamed Triple Mania 2 years ago.
So, no, when WWE announced the purchase of AAA back at WrestleMania, those of us who are familiar with it, those of us who have watched it, there was a bit of trepidation. You know, WWE, while we are e-drones, we put on the hat for them, we are also well aware of who and what they are as a company. And one of the things everybody was worried about was that WWE would start promoting shows for AAA, and it would be very WWE-ish. And I'm happy to report that at least this first collaborative effort with AAA and WWE was awesome. I felt like we got genuine, authentic Lucha Libre, and not WWE-processed Lucha Libre, which is fine in that realm, but in its own bubble, I wanted pure Lucha Libre, and I feel like with the exception of a couple of NXT talent that were there, we got that. And for me, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the other wrestling that I saw, but for me, this show was the most overall fun. Rob, I'll start with you. Kind of, what was your takeaway from it?
Same here. I thought it was the best. It was the most enjoyable wrestling show of the weekend because it felt like a wrestling show, and it wasn't like a 2-hour commercial or stuff, which has been a common criticism of what WWE's been doing this year. That a lot of their events do come off like basically a 3-hour commercial for a bunch of other stuff. This was not that. They completely played it straight. And
I, honestly, Rob, it was a 3-hour commercial. It was a 3-hour commercial for AAA.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. But yeah, at least it was for the thing that we were watching. It wasn't a 3-hour commercial for drinks and
It was a 3-hour commercial to their culture,
right.
To their culture, which I think is important. Especially for folks who are
even as through the lens of wrestling, it was like, hey, for you like idiots who only know John Cena, this and okay, your only exposure to Lucha Libre is Rey Mysterio.
This
show is for you. This is what it's about. And we are not shying away from that at all.
Right. So,
Rob, you're correct in the way that, like, they do these, like, blended shows or, like, oh, it's going to be a cruiserweight show or this or that. And it's really just those guys, whatever they are, cruiserweights, Japanese wrestlers, Lucha Libres. It's them working a WWE show. This was the opposite. This was like a true like fusion of styles.
Yeah, like a few years ago, they had like this something in the Rising Sun or Return to the Rising Sun or something. And it was a bunch of WWE matches in Japan.
Right, yeah. That's exactly what it was. They built it as Japan, and it was like all and. I hate to sound like that because we love WWE. I love the WWE style. I defend it routinely online. But we all feel like it's okay to consume something different that is definitively different. And that's what we got this weekend. Like, very much a WWE. Like, WWE branding was all over it. Psycho Clown had the WWE logo embroidered in his mask. So they're all in on this partnership, which is cool.
Well, but we wanted to make sure whatever. Like WWE wanted AAA to be an extension of the WWE universe. Like when we first heard about this deal and heard about Lucha Libre, like one of the best, if not the best, Lucha Libre company in the world. Coming to WWE under WWE's umbrella, we didn't just want these guys to be WWE-ized or whatever you want to call that. So this was a perfect like blend of, and it's what WWE's been doing for a long time. Like WWE has moved up in terms of like the strong style type of matches they will have. They will branch out in terms of the WWE style. But this was a perfect fusion of, we just bought this company. They are, as of right now, I have no idea. I've not been in a board meeting with Triple H or anybody. But as of right now, if I had to predict, I would tell you that AAA is going to exist as a non WWE entity under the WWE umbrella.
Kind of like Pixar. Kind of like Pixar did with Disney when Disney bought them years ago. They ran autonomously as their own entity under the Disney banner, and that's what I want AAA to do here.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. And you can show up on other people's shows, obviously, and for us dorks, but stylistically, culturally, everything, keep what you got. We're just going to give you more money.
Yeah, that's what we're all hoping for, and that would be the ideal thing. Because look, if they bought like GCW, then, and if they were running a GCW show, then they better bring out light tubes and everything, okay?
Yeah, I mean, let it run as it's meant to.
Yeah,
but that's like, what you paid for.
If in 5 years, 10 years, it becomes NXT Mexico, fine. But it shouldn't be NXT Mexico on camera. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Jason, usually we have you customarily go down the card. Do we want to do that, or we just want to kind of hit the highlights and keep it moving?
The whole card?
Not the whole card, just like the highlights from the card, because like I said, we're doing
an abridged. I want to talk about Mr. Iguana, and I want to talk about Vikingo. And those are the two big highlights for me. Not that anyone else was bad. And also the women tag team match was spectacular.
Yeah.
So Mr. Iguana and Vikingo would be my big talking points. But Rob, what do you got?
Both of them. And Corey Graves did an excellent job on commentary.
Yes.
And we should not forget what he did a great job.
So look, my recommendation with him is just keep him in that role, because he when they have him doing the color, he can get a little too heelish, or to this point where it's kind of irritating. But I think put him
on play by play or the third man. Play by play or the third man. He does not have to be the heel commentator.
No, he was excellent.
No, I'm sorry. He's good at that, but dude, don't put him in that box. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he carried Conan. And Conan was a great wealth of knowledge, because Conan is personal friends with a lot of these and has worked very closely with a lot of his talent. So he kind of filled in the gaps where Corey Graves may have been a little lapsed in his knowledge of these folks, but Corey was still, a fountain of knowledge, and he was excellent on Saturday.
I will put this nicely about Conan and Corey and that whole... Corey did not have to fill in many gaps. And I'm going to say that is a compliment to Corey, because he was literally, Rob, in our... show Lost in Time, you equated him to another gentleman that I'm sure you will in a minute, but he explained every single luchador that you've never seen before. He had a ready-made encyclopedia entry about that person. If he had never said anything like, "Hi, I'm WWE's Corey Graves," and blah, 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 and I'm just coming in there not knowing anything, I would assume he worked for AAA with how much he knew. Certainly compared to Conan, unfortunately, with how well he knew those folks. And that's kind of I know Corey has issues and whatnot, because, not everyone working in sports entertainment is a perfect person. But as far as the job he does on my television show, that dude does amazing. As long as they don't have him be the heel, because he leans in way too much on commentary for issues that we won't get into. But that dude is a great, random WWE, 24 host. He's a random, here's the YouTube top 10. And then, yes, he is a great commentator, especially when it comes to other varieties of wrestling, not just the WWE style.
Yeah. So, Rob, you got anything else?
The main event was excellent, and
you know, Viking of Starman.
Yeah, yeah. And the Savior Tony fumbled tweets because, you know, the at one point, I think he was booking people from AAA and CMLL for AEW, but now that, you know, WWE's bought AAA, anybody who's contracted AAA is off limits, obviously. So,
and to be fair, this is a better deal for Vikingo because Tony got, for him, he got the Holy Grail in, well, now not only Swerve Strickland, but Will Ospreay. So everybody else was going to fall to the back of that line. No matter how fucking awesome Vikingo is, I really feel like he was going to get lost in the Will Ospreay shuffle. And now they got Ricochet? Forget it. He just falls even further back in the line. So I think this is ultimately a better deal for Vikingo. I think WWE is going to give him more time to shine. He did that. Him and Gable had an amazing match. Like, just, this is, some people are saying this is a match of the year contender. I would stop just short of that, but it was up there. It was up there with one of the best wrestling matches I've seen in 2025.
I might give one, maybe two rebuttals to a person who said that. But I wouldn't be like, no, you're wrong.
I wouldn't argue on it.
Yeah, right? It's just like, yeah, okay.
I disagree, but I'm not going to argue. Too. Yeah.
It's just, you know what it is? It's just not that Vikingo and Chad Gable are not two of my favorite wrestlers. And that's okay. But that, man, that match was awesome. And also, something before we move on. We should talk about is that match had an awesome blend of styles. Obviously, because Chad is a American wrestler and Vikingo is a larger luchador who can work many different styles. But all of that can be on the table with a bunch of guys, and the match doesn't actually produce that. These guys did.
Well, no, Jason. Chad Gable is a WWE trained wrestler.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I went on a tear about that last night.
Yeah.
Let me break it down for you folks. The Performance Center is full of a bunch of trainers who have worked all over the world for decades. There is decades upon decades of world traveled experience. We need to kill this rhetoric that Performance Center trained wrestlers could not hack it out in the indies or out in the rest of the world. It's bullshit. It's absolute. Shawn Michaels by himself is enough to train these kids properly. And he's got William Regal in there. He's got, there's just a wealth of talent for him to mine from and for these people to learn under. And then you get them on the road and they follow road travel veterans. So that rhetoric just absolutely grinds my gears.
Yeah, it's just, and that just falls in the face of what you're watching on television. So,
right. So, for me, a couple of big highlights, and this is one I don't want to get out of here without mentioning Javon Evans, because I think Javon Evans really, really showed out last night or Saturday night. Had an incredible show, and again, we're talking about a WWE. Trained, quote unquote. And I know he had an indie background prior to going on there, but we're talking about a guy who, quote unquote, was WWE trained, went out there and won the respect of that crowd. And he was awesome. I love watching him move around the ring. His timing is so good. His ring awareness is incredible. He's a guy I like. I just have a lot of fun watching him work.
So two things. One, he, in the last, like, I don't know how long period of time, he looks so much, like, we've geeked out about Javon and his talent and his athleticism and his selling and his whatnot. But one thing I noticed in that match was he was amazing when he was in the shit. Like, when he was getting the bag kicked out of him, he was not just like, hey, I'm going to go to the next thing, and I'm going to sell, obviously, that I'm getting hit and whatnot, but I'm going to go to the next thing. Like, he was full on in and, like, selling every single thing that happened. I say all that because that's basically the last nice thing I'm going to say about Javon, at least when I'm not repeating myself, because every time that guy comes up, we're just like, yep, rising star, awesome, awesome, awesome. And then the next time we talk about him, we're like, well, we should have talked about him even better because he exceeded all expectations. Again, I am out of nice things to say about that guy. He's fucking awesome.
Rob, you got anything?
No, I think Jason covered it.
Okay, yeah. A couple other really,
dude.
Well, not just, because we're trying to not to, we're keeping it short here tonight.
Yeah, so we're keeping it short here tonight. We had a lot more to say.
I'm not going to repeat anything anybody else says here. So, right. I agree with everything you said.
We love Javon. Got it.
There were a lot of other stars. Ethan Page looked incredible. Stephanie Vaccaro and Lola Vice looked incredible. The only other big things we want to talk about, because we on this show try to remind people, thank you, Jay. I want to shout out our friend Jay from Boston. Wrestling is for kids and nanas, and we were all introduced to the ultimate kids and nana wrestler, Mr. Iguana. And when he first came out, I was like, okay, presentation's a little odd. As soon as he kicked the iguana up onto his shoulder, like it did a complete flip and it landed perfectly on his shoulder, I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely incredible stuff. So, yep, Triple A, looking forward to seeing what they do with it. And like I was telling the guys last night, I hope WWE, because they ran video packages for the original Worlds Collide back in, what was it, Rob, 94?
Yes.
1994. I hope WWE puts that on the archive or on the Peacock or on the YouTube vault somewhere. If they have access to the library, I hope they do that. And I hope somehow or another they make Triple Mania accessible either through the YouTube stream like they did for Worlds Collide, which was absolutely incredible. I felt like I was just watching it on regular TV. It was fantastically done. I hope that they make some of these AAA premium live events, I guess they're going to call them. I hope they make them accessible to us because I want more. After watching that, I am absolutely fiending for more. All right.
No, I mean, that's the whole point of Worlds Collide. Like, isn't it? It's like, hey, we just bought this thing. These people are in this thing. These people just beat our people. Like, if you don't capitalize on that, I don't know what we're doing.
So, absolutely incredible, successful event by WWE, at least in the initial stream. Over a million people watched between the United States on YouTube and Mexico on YouTube. That's sitting still right now at 3.2 million views. A couple of those are mine. I've already watched some of it again, and I'll probably watch the rest of it. But let's move on, because we do want to get into the other big event this weekend. The Money in the Bank ladder match premium live event was this weekend, and we had some really, really good stuff come out of that. And I want to rip the Band-Aid off. Last week, we did a show, and we did a segment at the beginning of that show after the news that Ron, the R-Truth Killings, his words were he was released. The actuality of it was his contract was expiring and a deal could not be released.
No, hang on. His actuality... No. Ron said he was released. The sheets said...
His contract was expired.
His contract was expired and he was not renewed.
Okay.
We will never know the truth ever, ever, ever.
And here's the thing. I want to preface this. As we talk Ron... You know, Ron Killings, R-Truth, and we will. I don't want to go into the was it a work, was it a shoot debate. I don't care. R-Truth, Ron Killings, is employed with WWE still for the foreseeable future. That is the most important part to me. That is the part that I am most excited for. And I'm okay whether they got me or whether this whole thing went down exactly as everybody's telling us. I like that I got. And I am perfectly okay with last week's episode where we did nothing short but give him a eulogy on our show, thanking him for years of entertainment and, you know, everything like that. That was all genuine on our part. We've put over our truth to the moon and back on this show. Go check the tape. But the fact that I got I'm okay with, because you're supposed to. You know, and the excitement that I felt at the end of the Money in the Bank event, when he showed up and speared Cena, it was just, that's how I want wrestling to do with me. You know, and it's very hard to do that in the internet age. It's very hard to pull something like that off because everybody's so dialed in. People pay fucking Meltzer and Sapp anywhere between 10 and 20 bucks a month just to get a morsel of some type of news because they're so desperate to know exactly how the gears and the cogs are oiled inside of wrestling. Not just WWE, but AEW, TNA, you know, all of it. They're so desperate to know how each and every single little wheel turns. Nobody wants to be surprised. And that was a genuine surprise for me. And I loved it. I loved that I looked like an idiot, you know, that day, because our episode aired on Saturday, the same day that the event happened. Our episode aired on Saturday, and I sound like an idiot saying goodbye to R-Truth on my podcast. And I'm 100% okay with that.
No, like we've said this on this podcast before. We'll say it again. Please keep doing it. I love when you trick me. Yeah. I love it. Please lie to me. Tell me all the untruths. Tell me, and just so I get that little feeling, it's not the same for every single appearance, but that little feeling that you get in the back of your neck when Roman Reigns showed up at whatever the show was, at SummerSlam in the Thunderdome, or when Edge showed up at the Royal Rumble, or when Truth showed up this last couple of days. Like, that little edge is just like, whoa, I got, like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because that's what makes this stuff fun. Because yeah, there's no, like, they didn't, like, turn it into some weird, like, Truth had an injury, had to retire, there was, like, no, like, controversy or anything like that. It was just, contract expired, he's gone, I got released, y'all, I'll see you later. And then the euphoria.
Yep.
Like, please play with our emotions, please lie to us, please, as long as it's not for the well-being or the, I don't know, the, like, don't lie to me and tell me that, you know, this person's getting a $1 million contract when you're letting them go, like, they're monetary, whatever. But, dude, yes, please trick us.
Yeah. Rob? Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with the same thing. Look, I would much rather us do what we did last week and then have to say, oops. I would much rather do that than to spend the whole year on, well, we told you guys what was going to happen, and we were right, weren't we? You know, I mean, no, we don't want to do it. I mean, it's much more fun to say, be able to say, oops. You know, whether it's something like this, or even Jason, when our man Chicago Phil came back in the Survivor Series.
Yeah, that one we kind of had spoiled for.
He basically, he told Dave, he told Sean, he told everybody. It's like, you can basically expect me here, and everyone's like, oh, hey, well, it might be a benefit of this show. And that's why, also, I remember, because I shut the show off so fucking quickly as soon as I heard that music. I was like, oh, yep, it's actually happening. All right, good.
Really?
And I still don't know what the end of that show looks like. As I saw him walk out, and it was actually him, as soon as I confirmed that it was not the 0.5% chance of 0.05% chance of Roman Reigns doing a stupid joke or whatever, as soon as it was fucking white t-shirt, dude just got a haircut, I shut the TV off.
Yeah, we'll move on for that because we got to get through Money in the Bank. I want to talk. The big one for us this weekend was Naomi finally, the agenda, the path is clearing. The path is clearing. And I did this on the other show, and I want to do it again because I want to break down for those of us in the Nao mob who have been ride or die for Naomi since before she was released or before she quit I should say, before she quit a couple years ago with Sasha Banks. We have been ride or die for her for a long time. Let me explain to you how serious this is with Naomi. Our friend Nicole, who has co-hosted on this show a couple of times, refused to watch the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match simply because we have been so conditioned to watch the rug get pulled out from under her over and over and over again. She's like, I refused to watch because I was so nervous. You know, so that's what we're dealing with here. And the whole time, because I know Rob and I watched it in real time. Jason was doing something, so I think you caught that one after the fact, right?
I have, yes.
Yeah, you caught it after the fact, but I know Rob and I were watching in real time, and the whole time we're just like, what are we doing, what are we doing, what are we doing? And then she finally gets it. Like, she wins the Money in the Bank briefcase, and I think we're here because she has made herself so undeniable. This new character direction is just chef's kiss. And it's how much of this was her wanting to do this versus them saying, here's let's try this. She's knocking this out of the park. She's doing everything that you're supposed to do when they give you the ball. She's running it and she's spiking it. And I love that for her.
Well, I think this definitely, she has a hand in this.
Yes.
This is not, they didn't hand her a piece of paper and say, hey, go say this tonight. I think she definitely had a hand in it. And just, I mean, this the sheer amount of enthusiasm that she's approaching all of this with. I think this is definitely something that, you know, she's been sitting on something like this for a while, I think. And, well, it's not exactly this, but something like it. And she's finally getting to do it. And that makes all the difference in the world. When you get to do something that you've been really wanting to do, it makes all the difference in the world, and you can tell that here with her.
Yeah, I think sometimes with wrestling, the right push is all a matter of timing, and I think the stars finally aligned for a good spot to push Naomi and give her this opportunity, and between creative. Between her effort and she's been doing it beautifully, not only on TV but on social media, she's playing this the way you're supposed to, the way that she's using her social media the right way, and I love it.
That was the one thing I wanted to talk about, DJ, because like obviously we all been like, oh Naomi, please something, mom, please. Oh, we're gonna lose you with the football as soon as.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
She's going to be the main character soon, I promise. And finally, we're here. Like, finally. But you know what? Like, I want her to, like, cash in and win, obviously. But I think that, like, the fact that it's taken this long is part of the story. And the fact that it's taken this long and like she's finally just, whether it was bad luck, bad, you know, bad juju, bad whatever, she has a clear path, both in kayfabe and in reality. And also, my favorite thing is they did not take the lazy way. And even before, like, if you listen to our podcast before this show, you could have shut that podcast off and they could still book that thing the lazy way. Like, oh, she just becomes a jerk and she, you know, she's not nice and all this stuff. And she becomes like a badass version of her character. And I'm using heavy air quotes right now, will turn her heel. But it just means we're just going to turn her into a badass baby face and she's going to get cheers. Nope. Not at all. That girl is a fucking stalker. She's a fucking weirdo. She's a fucking slasher villain. that girl leaned all the way the fuck into this, you know, caution tape, you know, psycho character, and I'm even more in than I thought I'd ever be for a, you know, for this whole thing. Like, she's amazing. She's amazing.
And you can tell she's enjoying it, which is important.
Yeah.
Yes, you can easily tell she's having a great time.
Yep.
Yeah, and to then, like, to, again, she's playing a different character.
Yes.
Like, and she changed her music, which is important because, you know, if you're a heel, you should not be coming out to shiny, happy people. Okay. Okay.
Right.
And
that was the big thing. Sorry, Rob. Her music, DJ, you pointed this out, and we obviously all heard it. Her music, excuse me, her music now is like a heavy metal, you know, like ripping, like totally opposite of what her previous music.
It's dark. Like, it's dark and it fits.
But the thing is, they weren't lazy about it. Because you know what it would be? If it was, they were lazy about it, it would be dubstep. It would be because she used to have this, like, techno electronic music theme. So now she's a bad guy, so we're going to turn into that type of music.
Kind of like what they did with Nakamura. I hated what they did to Nakamura.
I think there was a lot of potential there with that music and everything, but it was not executed well. But I do enjoy the fact that they went completely opposite. Oh, Miss Glow Naomi used to be techno and upbeat and whatnot. Well, this one's going to be metal. So deal with it.
Yeah. Rob, keep going, man, if you got anything else.
I'm glad they did it. Again, yeah, it's been, again, Lucy with the football for years and years and years, including while she was SmackDown Women's Champion back in 2017.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to see them just do it.
I'll defend that one a little bit.
I won't, but because they had a feud with Lana.
Yeah, they didn't give her anything meaningful to do with that.
That is unacceptable.
They went for the hometown pop because she won that in Orlando, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, hang on. Time out. Who won at WrestleMania?
Yes, and then they had a
No, answer the question. Who won that feud? Who won at WrestleMania?
She did, but.
All right.
No. If you are a world champion and they give you a pay per view match with Lana, that is unacceptable.
Well,
yeah.
No, stop it. Lana stinks. Okay.
Damn.
That's true, and so do a lot of people who have won world heavyweight championships. So I know.
Yeah, Lana didn't win one. So,
yeah.
But moving on, for Money in the Bank, a few other highlights. Becky and Lyra had a great match. That feud, who knows if it's over, not over. We have now more questions than answers. Becky Lynch defeating Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship in what I thought was probably overall the best wrestling match of the night. Again, come Monday, we had more questions than answers because Lyra came out, because Becky... The stipulation was Lyra, if Becky won, was supposed to raise Becky's hand. Well, Becky took it a step further because that's what Becky does. You're going to raise my hand in all four sides of the ring, and you're going to put the belt on me. Lyra's like, okay, I've had enough of your shit. She put the belt on her. She German suplexed her and left the ring. Monday night, Becky decided that was unacceptable. You're going to come out. You're going to do it the right way. As Lyra was coming out, completely ashamed, completely embarrassed, Bayley takes advantage of the whole situation, looking amazing, and comes out and proceeds to beat the ever-loving tar out of Becky Lynch in an absolutely fantastic segment that left Lyra Valkyria extremely confused. I'm here for this. I like this. Wherever they go with it, I think it's going to be fun.
Hey, white pants. Good decision.
Yes. Excellent decision. I fully endorse the white pants on Bayley. So.
No, and I'm sorry, there's also some sort of psyop going on right now. Because We have Bailey in the white pants getting, you know, some favorable camera angles on the internet. And then we also had Nia giving a creep shot footage of Bailey on the internet. So if you haven't seen that, go to Nia Jax's Instagram. So I think Bailey is running some sort of agenda here. That's all I have to say about that.
It's a conspiracy.
What is about agenda, brother? I'd already done business for that liar Valkyria. I'd already put her over twice. So it was time for her to return the favor, brother. That's how we do business around here. Don't you know that?
Oh, my gosh. Jason's talking about BBLs, and Rob's got to come in and bury the orange-haired lady.
I mean, he's not wrong. Hang on. I'm sorry. I got to back up my boy. I'm sorry. Becky Hogan. The Hogan allegations will continue until the kayfabe improves. Like, literally, I can't say shit about how Hulk Hogan behaved and championships were won and, you know, with the timeline and whatnot, because I am not privy to the backstage, you know, machinations at the WWE Universe right now. So all I can do is have the information I have, and when you won titles, and well, that a lot of stuff seems to line up. I'm just saying.
I like how 4.5 minutes ago, Jason was at Rob's throat over something. Now he's coming to his defense. Jason is like a podcasting wrestling politician. He's flip-flopping so many times on this. I don't even know what we're doing here. Like, what is this podcast right now?
Well, I'm honest. I'm going to say how it is every single time. And if I contradict myself, that's the best part of humanity.
You guys with your Becky Hogan allegations. I hate every one of you for it.
Well, brother, you know, I couldn't, you know, I had to come back at WrestleMania just to win the tag team title. And, you know, I really don't want to keep the tag team titles because I don't like, you know, tag team.
Somebody has to be the first, like, multi-time world fucking champion who did everything there is to do. And somebody has to be the first one to win the mid-card title for the girls, right?
And, brother, somebody has to be the first person to win a tag team title twice and never defend them successfully. Somebody has to do that.
That's right. Somebody has to do it. And you know what? By God, Becky Lynch is that someone.
Thank God Becky Lynch had the guts to take one for the team and be that woman to do all that work. Amazing, amazing, amazing talent. I salute her wholeheartedly.
Becky Lynch basically saved wrestling.
She did. She saved women's wrestling in the United States.
Yes. Yes, where are we?
What are we even talking about, boy?
I don't even know. You two started. I just ran with a narrative. Anyway, in a match that was set up at Worlds Collide, Dominic Mysterio ended up defending his Intercontinental Championship against... Rob, you just fell out of my head.
Octagon.
Okay, we've got a pentagon. We've got an octagon. Okay, octagon. In what was really a fun sprint of a match. Like, it wasn't an overly long thing. It got Octagon introduced to a larger audience, and it gave Dom something to do, and it gave the internet, who was bitching about the fact that it was a four-match premium live event, gave them less to bitch about because they added a fifth match. So, a lot of fun there. Dom is continuing an upwards trajectory, and I love that for him. The other big news...
I have a good thing to say about Dom.
What's up?
Much like what's his name that we talked about earlier, I am running out of good things to say about Dom.
Dom's incredible, and that's interesting because probably 2, maybe 3 short years ago, we were having a much different discussion about Dom on this podcast, and he's one of those guys who I am glad won me over, and that's all I ever ask anybody to do is put in the work and show me why I should root for you. And he has, and I appreciate the hell out of that.
I believe 3 years ago or so, we were saying, like, yeah, you'll have a job that forever, but there's a ceiling. I no longer believe in that ceiling.
No, there's no ceiling for this guy. And there may be some nerd listening to this that catches this segment that says you're out of your mind. I can see World Heavyweight Champion Dominic Mysterio somewhere in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
In realism, there is a ceiling. He's not going to be the Randy Orton, the John Cena, multi-time champion. But whatever level is lower than that, the level that they win those championships off of, yeah, Dom is right there.
Dom's going to make a nice foil for the guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where I, if he has a ceiling, that's where I see it. Definitely a guy who will hold the World Championship or Universal Championship at least once. But he is the foil for the quote-unquote guy. And that's a great job to have. That's a great ceiling, man. Most people don't get that. So,
I'm pretty sure that stories always need a bad guy.
They do?
I think he'll be there.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, let's wrap it up talking about the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. The winner there, Seth Rollins, which was a bit of a surprise. I don't think any of us.
Hey, good day, everybody. Let's have a great night. What is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast? If you can't call it sports entertainment, you call it chair shot. You call it.
You are shot out of cannon tonight, man. You are on
Seth Rollins, are you fucking kidding me? Seth Rollins.
I'm okay with it.
Of course you're okay with it. Jesus, the biggest Seth Rollins mark on the planet.
That's my architect,
let's
pal.
Let's get into it.
All right,
let's get into it.
All in all, I thought the match was...
need the briefcase.
No, but I think you guys are missing...
it's even better that he has the briefcase because he is one of the best. So, what I said... the beginning of both Money in the Bank matches. Don't think about the cash in. Don't just think about the cash in. Think about who is going to be Mr. or Mrs. Money in the Bank for the next 1 to 11 months. And even as I say all that about, whatever, Seth Rollins, we can do this thing and we're going to, accelerate all things. It's the first two-time winner of Money in the Bank that also led the Shield, and cashed in at Money, whatever. As long as we do all that, then I just feel like he was the best answer. He was. Unfortunately,
he's in the biggest angle on TV right now. Roman's non-existent. What are we doing? Plus, I think people are misinterpreting Seth. I feel like this is probably
Seth's... He's biding his time, first of all. Roman Reigns is biding his time.
Yeah, we'll talk about Roman later. He wasn't on the show.
Bite your fucking tongue.
He wasn't on the show. We'll talk about Roman when he's back. I think with Seth, and I told you guys this in a private chat, I think this is his last big run before he starts to really turn it down and start to head into Randy Orton territory. I also think his role now is to get Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker over. Because when they eventually turn on him, and they will, violently, it's going to be great. And those two are going to be made men because of him. And that's what I see looking down the road. 12, 18, 24 months, that is his role now, is to prepare those guys to take over for him, for Roman, for Randy, for John, as Cody starts to phase himself out. These guys are the next up. And, he's getting them ready for that. So, all in all, I thought the men's Money in the Bank ladder match was fun. I love the false finish with LA Knight. Because I think a lot of people really, really thought this was LA Knight's time. They pulled the false finish. They had just, for 2 seconds, believing, holy shit, they may actually do the thing. And then they didn't do the thing. I thought it was very well booked. Rob?
So, gentlemen, did you ever believe in that moment, how long did you believe that LA Knight would become Mr. Money in the Bank? Because I'm going to be that dork. For me, it was 0 seconds.
2 seconds.
Oh, no, I did not. And in fact, look, I picked Solo to win because I thought they were going to hold off on the whole split for a while. But other than him...
Oh, yeah, that's... We should talk about that.
But other than my pick of Solo to win, the only person I had winning was him, was Rollins. Because, I mean, I looked at that field and I was like, these guys got no chance. I mean, LA Knight was there for the casual people to believe in. Not us, you know, in the bubble nerds. But, you know, I personally did not give him any chance to win. And, you know, Penta and Andrade and El Grande Americano, look, I know they were just in there to do stuff.
Right. Well, Rob, you're right. When the guys who are there for the normies are there, like LA, let's be real. There is a, like, 1 to 5% chance they will win it, but history tells us a different story.
Yeah. Why don't we take a quick break? Let's go to commercial. We'll come back. We will finish up talking Money in the Bank and tie up any other loose ends. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are represented there. Go check them out. Go pick yourself one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style for just a couple bucks more. That is prowrestlingtees.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to finish up the Money in the Bank discussion and tie up all the loose ends.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. We are going to finish talking Money in the Bank here. Where we were leading to, where we've dropped off and went to commercial, was the turn. The Samoan Werewolf, Jacob Fatu, finally had enough of Solo Sikoa's shit. I guess he overheard some of Solo's comments calling him stupid and decided he'd had enough of that shit and pretty much cost Solo any chance at winning the Money in the Bank ladder match. I thought it was well done, guys.
Yeah, I think it was relatively perfect. I mean, they made you believe that, you know, Jacob is still just, you know, doing it for Solo, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's a hand around the ankle. So I think it was well done, and, you know, Jacob needs to branch away from everyone and just be his own guy as soon as humanly possible. So, yeah.
Can I put over Solo Sikoa for a minute? This guy the funniest
dude? The boss goon. He started being Roman's goon, like Roman's enforcer, and then when they had to, like, you know, change the stakes and whatnot, he all of a sudden was Roman's goon, and then he was the boss. And now he is the boss goon. Like, he's
come full circle
between so many characters. Like a lot of your favorite wrestlers do not do as many character transitions as this guy just did.
Well, what I liked was he was sitting there spamming everybody's gimmicks on Saturday night.
Yeah,
and they all finally just turned on him, man, and beat his ass. And I've enjoyed Solo. I have never genuinely laughed. And I don't want to say I laughed at him in a bad way, but I have genuinely not laughed like that at something he's done like I did Saturday night. I'm like, okay, this guy is genuinely funny, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah, because he's completely unserious.
Exactly.
No, and he's completely serious in the moments that he should be.
Yeah, he's finding that mix, that balance.
Yeah.
And I just can't, like, help but think you know, just like Jay, and not that Jay didn't have his own talent, and same with Solo, but they spent years at the feet of the Tribal Chief, you know? Or just in that storyline, doing that thing, doing that, and now they're like, hey, you're free, do your own thing. And they're running with it.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge change. And I don't want to get too deep into the Triple H versus Vince era, but I think that's one of the positive things that Triple H is doing with the talent, and something that they've spoken about, is that he's allowing them a bit more creative freedom while still coloring inside. I think he's opened up the lines, per se, for them to color in. Whereas Vince had a very narrow palette for them to create within, I think Paul has opened the palette up a bit for these people, and you can tell that the talent is enjoying that, and that's so refreshing.
And I think for him, putting up this kind of aspect of his personality or whatever, it's kind of breathed some new life into the character, because, I mean, it was him just being serious all the time. I think it kind of run its course.
It had. And they say that the best gimmicks are you dialed up to 11, and I feel like what we're getting now is more authentically who he is as a person while still trying to be a character on TV.
But I'm sorry, I know it had a shelf life and all that, but he was an incredible, bumbling tribal chief. Like the guy who wanted to, like, take Roman's place and be goofball about it, like, he was awesome at it. So, it's unfortunate that some parts of their story only last so long, but, he did amazing at that part, so I don't want that to get, overlooked.
Yeah. So, guys, I don't have much else. I know that was an awkward transition, but, you know, we're peeling the curtain back. Teams only lets you do about 60 minutes, and then it cuts you off, so we had to find a break. We didn't really have much else to do tonight, unless you guys have got any last-minute thoughts.
Just give a salute to Jey Uso.
Yes.
We didn't really talk about that.
Yeah. It ended a little too quickly for me. I'm expecting him to be more.
Let's take a step back. Jey Uso lost his WWE Championship to Gunther on Monday Night Raw. That's the most recent thing that's happened. And I will just say my part, it sucks because, well, hang on. It greatly, greatly, greatly depends on the next couple months of programming because, okay, so Jay wins at WrestleMania by climbing the mountain of Gunther and tapping that motherfucker out. Jey Uso holds that title for 52 whatever days and then loses to Gunther clean as a sheet as that guy chokes him out and his son cries. This is not the end of this story. I refuse to believe this is the end of this story. So let's all relax about Jay losing the title. I know, obviously, he was put into the King of the Ring tournament, so we'll see. But I don't think him and Gunther is done, even if it happens at WrestleMania next year. So, Rob?
We'll see. For right now, sorry, I'm just, again, nobody was expecting him to be champ for a whole year, but this is very abrupt, and I thought it was too soon.
Sorry, Rob, I have to keep saying it because it's very important as to how you win and how you lose. Jay lost clean as a sheet.
Yeah. Okay.
To the guy, Jay lost clean as a sheet to the guy, the mountain that he climbed, as the whole integral part of his story at WrestleMania. That does not fit well with any storyteller ever on this planet.
Yeah. So again, we'll see what happens, because we don't. I mean. We'll see.
Survivor Series next year, he hasn't. Or excuse me, if by Survivor Series this year he hasn't had like any interaction with the World Heavyweight Champion, yeah, I'll start to panic. But
I'm not panicking. But for me, this is one of those times where it's broken until you fix it, and I'm not going. Right. I'm not going to. You know, that's the way I feel. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and you know, I'm not going to relax about it until it's rectified.
It almost feels like they pulled the road out from under us before the rubber even met the road. And before we ever really got going with this thing. And
that's
maybe,
not true. Jay was white hot. Stop it.
No. That's not what I'm saying. He still is white hot, but this run, he did nothing. He defended one time against Logan Paul, and he lost it back to Gunther. So I feel like there was no time for any traction to come in this reign. But let me finish. That may be part of the point. That may be part of the story. That may be a beat in the story. And we always talk on this show about how they stick the landing. I don't think they've checked out on Jey Uso. He's absolutely an undeniable talent. He's a top merch seller. He gets one of the top reactions in the company still. His segments do well. Fuck what the internet tells you about Jey Uso. The guy is over. He is an incredible talent. He is over like Rover. And he's making money for that company. I don't think they checked out on him. I think they're still telling part of his story.
Okay. So, no, they have not checked out on him. But, I mean,
it's awkward.
Okay, put it this way. If you lost your championship to the mountain you climbed to win it for your first title, that should not be your first and only championship.
But it might be. And so until...
And that's what I'm telling you. Even if he doesn't win another one from Gunther... Like, just as it stands right now, I don't know what he's going to do between now and then. Obviously, he might win, you know, two more tag team championships, another Intercontinental, and whatever. But as it stands right now, if that's how it goes, it kind of sucks. It's just kind of, you did not get all the juice from that apple, you know?
And so, you know, we'll see until, you know... Again, until I'm rectified, then, I'm not just going to say everything's going to be okay. Because we don't know. And because he is somebody, there are so many other people in that kind of circle to hold one of those two titles. And he is one of those people who is super popular. Without having won that belt to kind of elevate him up there or whatever. So, it is, if you are booking the wrestling company, it is very easy to look at him and say, you know what? We're getting all this from him without that, having to do that. So we'll just spread it around to some other people. There are people in that locker room who are angling for their next turn also.
I have a theory about that World Heavyweight Championship. I think that championship is going to, one, center around Gunther. I think he is going to be the main villain on Raw for quite some time, with other guys dipping in and challenging him for that, and occasionally somebody wins one. Jey Uso being the first test balloon there. I think Sami Zayn is going to get up in there. I think when the draft comes... LA Knight is coming to Raw, And I think LA Knight is going to get in there and get some. Like, I think, because this title is designed to be the hot potato title. It's the microwave championship, at least for the foreseeable future, because the one that John Cena has is locked up for at least a year to 2 years. So if you're going
because
to
I'm
give...
Sorry. Also, if wrestling is any indication, just wrestling history... There are better stories when there is a long reigning champion. Excuse me. That, so you will, it's cool when you hot potato a title between two like all-timers like Orton and Cena. But when you have, excuse me, when you have this, Jesus, there it is. Plethora of talent that you do right now, it's better to spread the wealth.
We'll see. We'll see what they do. Like I said, ultimately for me, it comes down to sticking the landing with Jey Uso. Personally, I don't think he's out of that scene yet. I think he probably takes some side roads and then comes back to it. But it just, I'll agree, it felt abrupt. And it felt shortchanged on his part, especially given all the work that he's put in to get where he was, to work as hard as he was, to elevate himself, and, you know, to... But again, we say this all the time. We're supposed to feel. And the fact that we feel for Jey Uso is part of the point, is part of the plan, and part of the reason why we watch this, you know? So, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, but I'm not okay with it, if that makes a bit of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Hang on, let Rob finish.
I guess,
look, I'm not okay with it. You know, if it gets, again, if it gets rectified down the road, then I'll gladly acknowledge that. But for right now, you know, I'm just like, eh, this ain't working for me, man.
Okay. Jason, what you got before we close the show out?
I'm at least going to wait till next week. Because I've... And, okay, so Jey is now in the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
So, he's obviously not going to get... Excuse me. Jeez, I have to sneeze. He is not going to get his automatic rematch or whatever. And he's not going to just walk out there and demand a rematch. So, I can't imagine... Maybe he wins King of the Ring and that's how we do it, but... I imagine some sort of side road before that. But what I've imagined and I told you guys was, okay, when Jey won the title, Gunther didn't get some sort of automatic rematch or whatever. So Gunther had to work himself back up through the ranks. And I think that's what Jay's going to have to do. And so by SummerSlam... I think Jey is going to be the number one contender, whether it's through King of the Ring or not, or whatever. Then, so my official prediction at this point is Jey works himself through the ranks, gets himself a title shot at SummerSlam, wins, or is about to win, and Seth Rollins catches it.
Okay.
That is my official prediction right now.
All right. All right, Rob, any last-minute thoughts before we close the show out?
Oh, no, just, again, you know, as much as I don't like what happened, yeah, I want, you know, I'll just salute to Jey just for the last 5 years.
Yeah, going nonstop.
Phenomenal job. And, yeah, he's done a phenomenal job for the last 5 years. And to me, the biggest thing
he literally took... Sorry, I keep flashing back to the podcast that never was. I'm pretty sure his biggest break was that, like, weird period where he, like, got exiled from SmackDown or Roman fired him from SmackDown and or whatever, and then Cody brought him over to Raw. Like, he had 3 weeks off at that point, and yeah. I'm pretty sure that is his biggest break he's had since the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And The biggest thing is for me is that, you know, he got us to buy into the character. Like, we were not, this whole time, you know, we were not rooting for Joshua Fatu to get, you know, career achievements. Okay. We've been rooting for Jay Uso this whole time. And through all the twists and turns with Roman and with Sammy and all the ups and downs, they've all been the character, which is what this is supposed to be about. Too often, especially those of us in the IWC bubble, you know, we root for the people playing the characters to, you know, to get career advancement. And,
well, also just because they're our favorite characters or our favorite people or our favorite celebrities or, like, whatever. Like, that stuff all blends together, and it's a real yeah, reason to root for
somebody. We don't know these people.
With wrestling, it's a bit more, the lines are a bit more blurry. Like, we can separate.
Can separate Maverick and Tom Cruise. You know?
Thank you.
It's harder to separate Roman Reigns and Joanna Watt.
Right.
It just is.
Yeah. So. Well, guys, why don't we call it a night here? I think we've kind of beat everything in. We're going to start repeating ourselves here in a minute. So are we good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, we're good. All right. I'm going to wrap back around the room. Thank my co-host for salvaging his show because we did one 24 hours ago. The audio got dumped. At least two-thirds of the audio got dumped. We salvaged it tonight. I want to thank my boys, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. Sir, thank you for coming out on a Friday night and doing this with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Jason, Bucky's tag team partner, sir, thank you for suggesting.
Ah, thank you for having me, boys.
And as always, I'm DJ. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week. All right, let me stop recording.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.